This is a special MonsterFest episode of the FakeShemp.net podcast. I'm your host, Glenn. Joining me is Jarrett and Sean. We are FakeShemp.net. And if you haven't heard of us before, then go ahead and take a look at what we do. We're all about movies, focusing mostly on cultish, horror, and genre cinema. But we're not all that snobbish about other things either. You can find our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, YouTube, Podbean, and most other hosting platforms. So we're taking a small breather between our regular shows to take a look at this year's MonsterFest. Cancel your plans, mark it on your calendar. MonsterFest 7, the homecoming, is just around the corner this November 22nd through to 25th. Let's get stuck into it.
Over again. It was music to my ears.
The countdown is on, fellas. MonsterFest 2018 is right around the corner. But firstly, how the fuck are you guys?
Very well. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Jared?
Yeah, feeling good. Feeling good.
Awesome. Now, Sean, we have a very special guest with us this evening. Direct from Monster Pictures, Mr. Jarrett Garn.
It's a pleasure to meet you, sir. Hey, how are you?
Good. Feeling good. Feeling
good. You sound like a good friend of ours.
Can you sign this for me?
Yeah, who do you want me to make it out to?
Your biggest fan. Your number one fan in the world.
So the program and festival schedule has been officially revealed, and we're going to take a look at what it has to offer. I should also mention that the MonsterFest app is also available to download at monsterfest.com.au/app. So Jarrett, explain to us what Homecoming is.
Well, Homecoming is a return to where it all began. We started the festival at Cinema Nova back 7 years ago. We went to the Lido for a while, and now we've come home. You know, the Cinema Nova's been super generous to us. Mm-hmm. They've made it enticing to come back. And I mean, Cinema Nova's probably the best, you know, and I'm not just saying this, it's the best independent cinema in Australia. Like, the range of programming they put on, they've got 16 cinemas. It's an independently run cinema, and they've got 16 cinemas in it. That's more than a lot of these multiplexes.
Yeah.
And the programming, they take chances on things. So they'll do, you know, they'll do like one-off event screenings, but they'll also do a season for a film. Like in Melbourne, that was where Evil Dead played, Sony's Evil Dead remake. You know, the majors didn't want to go near it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Nova took it and did it and did well for a couple of weeks. They do those sort of things. They've got the room that plays there like every month.
Friday
once,
night.
Once, one Friday every month, and it's played there for like since 2009. So they take chances on things, and they're really big about community and whatnot. So it's great to actually return home. And, you know, as such, MonsterFest 7, the homecoming.
Awesome.
We're back.
There's no better place to be watching these films. It's like a labyrinth, that place. There's so many nooks and crannies.
It's like a rabbit warren, isn't it?
I have watched films in every size cinema in that place. Like, from a 12-seater tiny micro to, like, this giant, you know, Cinema One kind of experience.
Yeah.
I saw 2001 A Space Odyssey sort of screened there, and I felt sick. It was that sort of big, you know, amazing stuff.
Klaatu, Murata.
All right, so let's take a look at the schedule and we'll discuss some of the films. So the program is actually presented on a very cool A5 flyer this year, and I'm digging this approach, Jarrett. It's cool. Like, on one side, you've got the artwork for the festival. On the other side, it actually almost looks like a pizza menu.
So
it's
like, it does a bit.
I'm kind of calling it like the old slice and dice aesthetic here.
I like it.
But this
like
festival is deep dish.
Oh, look at that. King of puns.
There you go.
I like the fact that we kind of simplified it. We're trying to drive people to use the app, hence the advertisement for the app on the front of the flyer. So, you know, that way you can find out all the film info and things of that nature. This keeps it pretty simple. It's almost like a, you know, when you go to a music festival and you get your little guide, which has got the stages and, you know, the times of the bands and that sort of thing. Because, yeah, people don't always carry the phone, and a program can be sort of cumbersome to fold and put in your pocket.
Yeah.
You know? So something like this you can easily just sort of have on you and go, okay, yep, cool, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's also, it doubles as a really nice one you can put in cafes and places to promote the festival. Because, you know, rather than just go, okay, cool, I know what's playing opening night, it's like, I know everything that's playing.
Yep,
you know?
Absolutely. It's a fantastic schedule. And the film and the lineups on it are, you know, absolutely second to none.
It's very
solid.
So
let's start with opening night, which is on November 22nd, which is a Thursday night. What's the opening night film?
It's Dragged Across Concrete. It's the third feature from S. Craig Zahler, who previously directed Bone Tomahawk and last year's Brawl in Cell Block 99. I haven't seen the film yet, but this is one of my most anticipated films of 2018. I was really worried it would be one of my most anticipated films of 2019 because the film's not getting a theatrical release in Australia at this point until the end of August 2019. So we're getting it well ahead of its Australian theatrical release.
So in other words, if this has not sold out yet, get your hands on tickets because it's almost an entire year before its actual release.
And it'll definitely sell out, I feel. I saw Brawl in Cell Block 99, Zala's previous film, at Beyond Fest in LA last year, and it was awesome to see it. It played Fantastic Fest, which I think was the US premiere, but I held off seeing it because I wanted to see the one that the Q&A was going to be with Jennifer Carpenter, Vince Vaughn, and Zala and that. So we held out and watched it in LA, and I really loved it. Like, I loved it that much, but it was really weird. The release strategy in the States is that it played these two major sort of festivals, you know, one in Austin and one in LA. And then within like 10 days, it was available digitally, which is a shame because the film didn't get a proper run, you know, theatrically.
Yeah.
Worse still is because it came out in that tail end of the year in the US and there wasn't a lot of hype for it prior to coming out. It didn't play any festivals in Australia, so it never got a Guernsey of being seen on a big screen in Australia, which is kind of heartbreaking in my opinion.
Given super heartbreaking. How good it is.
Because it's beautiful to look at.
Yeah,
I picked it up on 4K Ultra HD and watched it with Danny, my wife, and watched it with, you know, my father-in-law. And it's a weird kind of film to watch, you know, because it's like effectively like, is this a prison film? Probably the first 50 minutes are spent, you know, on the outside before you even get into the prison.
Yeah,
and then the prison element's the shorter element, but it's a great film and it's a crowd pleaser too.
Well, this guy has become the new cult thing. Like, he's established himself as a cult director pretty quickly.
Yeah,
in two films.
Yeah,
he feels like, you know, and look, you know, I don't know, comparing him to Tarantino is a thing because, look, I don't have a super opinion of Tarantino. I appreciate that people really like him. And I do like some of his films, his earlier body of work. But I feel like Zala, yeah, he's making exploitation films similar to what Tarantino is doing. He's putting his own stamp on it.
He's probably closer to Rodriguez. You know,
yeah, I think so too.
Yeah,
he's more innovative,
yep,
you know, with his approach. But I am dying to see this film. And the fact that it's going to have like Mel Gibson acting opposite Vince Vaughn in the lead.
Two of Hollywood's outcasts.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. And then the characters they're playing are like crooked cops in this movie as well that kind of have a really bad plan to steal money from, you know, from thieves during a robbery. And, you know, that can't end well. And I can't wait to see how it ends.
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be the common thread, I think, you know, two films in. That seems to be the common thread with Zahler's stuff, is he takes ordinary, run-of-the-mill plots that you've heard before, and then just turns them on their head somehow, some way. He
in
finds
a
out a way.
Fashion of Brad Anderson.
He splices genres. Yeah. He splices genres, yeah.
He works out how to invert expectations.
Yeah.
And he does it really, he does it with intelligence, and he does it with wit, and he does it with a very specific, laconic style that seems to be his way. You can't rush Zala. He will take as long as he fucking takes,
and I'm patient.
And
I'm patient.
When the content is this good,
I'll
sit down and I'll watch. It doesn't matter how long it takes.
So
Dragged Across Concrete's got a lot of prospects,
and so you guys at Monster have done an awesome job of actually making my two most anticipated films the bookends of the festival, because we'll quickly jump to the final film of the night of the festival before we move on to the rest of the films. Closing night on November 25th is Lords of Chaos. Tell us about this one. This is something that actually has me really excited.
Well, this one's actually based on a true story. It's based on a book that tells the story of a band, Mayhem, and members in the band, and, you know, the crazy shit that happened that, you know, it's almost, it sounds like a film, like a, you know, something that was made up, but it's true. You know, people are killed, churches are burned. And Jonas Ackland's behind directing this film, and obviously his music video works. You know, I remember
how prolific is this guy?
Spun, you know, it was Spun, the movie that came out.
Yeah,
you know, but he's done
that
a lot
was
of music.
Horseman
videos.
Of the Apocalypse, the one with Dennis Quaid.
Oh, that was the Platinum Dunes one.
Yeah,
but I mean, like, obviously he's quite well known for directing Rammstein videos or Lady Gaga.
You too. Know. He's, done,
even
he's done a lot.
He's
Rocks
done,
it. You know, he's done a lot.
Yeah, he's done a lot of videos. Yeah. He's got an eye, and this film combines that eye with his personal experience, because he was the drummer in a black metal band in, was it Bathory?
He looks like a metalhead. You only have to look at his photos.
So, like, he's bringing a lot of those elements to a film to tell this story, and it's got Rory Culkin in it.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how audiences go with this, because it is a very different film. And at the same time, though, Don't be fooled by any online material. There is, at this point in time, at this point of recording, there is no trailer. There is no footage for this film. Everything that's on YouTube is something else that someone's retitled. And people have gone to the effort of even putting titles on them, not just, you know, the title of the video, but retitling the actual video itself on the video.
What is the point of that? What is
I don't
the
know.
Point?
It's yeah. because trolling. They're generally... Well, trolling, and also, too, if they put, like, Google AdSense on it, they can force that ad on, and
yeah.
someone realizes it's the wrong thing, but they've already watched that ad, so they've already made that little bit of money. But yeah, so no, it'll be interesting how it plays out, and I think it's a perfect film for Monster Fest too, because horror and metal sort of have this, you know, sort of strange union,
symbiotic
yeah,
relationship.
So I think, yeah, I think it'll be it's a cool film to end the festival on. Yeah,
cool.
It's gonna be interesting to see how it plays.
And both nights are followed by parties.
Yes, this is true. I know the opening night definitely is, and I think Grant did mention the first I heard of it at the program launch that we'd be having, you know, kind of a closing party. We always have the awards at the end as well. What's going to be great is that if we do actually have sort of like enough time to have drinks at the end, because unfortunately, and then look, this is not a slight against the Lido, but it is at the same time, is that, you know, we always hope to have, you know, closing drinks and that. By the time we'd finished the awards last year, they had actually called last drinks during the awards, so no one could actually have a drink there after the awards.
Right.
Which was a bit confusing, yeah. And it sucked because it's Sunday night in Hawthorne and there's nowhere to go. I ended up going with a bunch of interstate filmmakers and that to go and have a drink. We had to go to Richmond to have a drink. We ended up in an old man's bar, which I'm happy with. But the Nova really look after
well,
us.
Well, hopefully that'll all be sort of sorted out and whatnot.
Yeah, well, Nova
The current program has it listed as a closing night awards ceremony in the Nova Bar, which I'm guessing is sort of, you know, part and pass with a party.
Yeah, that's it. And if you're a VIP pass holder, you actually end up getting free, I think it's Bad Boy Bubbly drinks. Uh-huh. I think that might be the name of the cocktail.
Nice.
I'm not 100% sure.
But in the meantime, I'm going to get to the bulk of the program. Night. Moving on to Friday, November 23rd, you've got a really exciting film lined up first.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this one, Nightmare Cinema. I know we spoke about it on a previous podcast because we'd been trying to chase this film, and we have to thank Mick Garris because he personally made this happen.
Mick Garris is a legend.
He is an absolute legend. Nightmare Cinema is, in my opinion, the best anthology horror film since maybe Creepshow 2.
Wow.
You know, it's a big call. Like, I mean, there's been some fun ones like Body Bags. There's been a lot of crappy
ones. Did you know they used your quote on social media last week?
I saw it the other day. It was pretty weird. It's a bit surreal seeing Mick Garris write that and you're like, it's my quote.
And do you know, like, for people that are listening, Mick Garris, there's been no kinder director to our regular podcast than Mick. He has always given us time whenever we've wanted it. So
he's incredible.
Yeah, we have a lot of time for this guy. In fact, we've just done a podcast on Sleepwalkers, which you can listen to on our website, fakechamp.net.
And God, it'd be good if you could see that in a movie marathon, but I'm not saying anything. Imagine that. Anyway.
Incredible.
So
I'm excited. Nightmare Cinema 1, it combines the talents of, you know, amazing filmmakers. You've got Mick Garris, you've got Joe Dante, you got David Slade, and I can never pronounce his name, but you got Rui
Alejandro something or other?
Kitamura.
Oh, no, sorry. Yeah, of course, the director of Midnight Meat Train.
Ryu Kitamura, isn't it?
I don't like mispronouncing people's names, so I'm going to leave it at that.
All right, that's why.
I'm going to leave it at that.
I tend to hold back.
Yeah, we'll just leave it at that. So, but anyway, he's the guy that made Midnight Meat Train, and he made that recent one that you talked about on a podcast, which was...
I reviewed it.
What was it called?
Downrange.
Yeah. Oh, that's the Shudder exclusive.
Yeah. And then following that film at 7 o'clock, you've got First Light, and followed by a short film, Hitched.
Sorry. And I do want to mention Nightmare Cinema's also got a short film. It's got Devil Woman, which is the new short from Heidi Lee Douglas, who...
Yeah, right.
She's a very talented filmmaker out of Tassie. Oh, actually, is she out of Sydney or is she...
She's Aussie, mate.
Maybe she's from Sydney and maybe they shot this in Tassie. Because I've always seen her in Sydney at Sydney Underground Film Festival. Talented filmmaker. This is what I believe is the world premiere of Devil Woman as well, which is pretty exciting.
Cool.
To play. And her previous short had won a number of awards. I think it was Little Lamb, might have been the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
We're generally excited about that one. But of course, Hitched is playing with First Light, which is First Light's like a Spielbergian.
Now, am I correct in thinking that overseas it's been called The First Light?
No, overseas it's called At First Light.
At First Light.
It's a little bit confusing because we haven't put the trailer up for it because all the trailer assets say At First Light. But what they're trying to do in this territory is call it First Light.
Yeah.
So it is a little bit confusing. It's known as At First Light as well as First Light.
Cool.
A little bit confusing.
And then at 9:30, we move on to Cam, plus a short film called Be My Guest. Now, Cam looks interesting.
Cam is awesome, man. Like, Cam, I didn't know what to expect from it. There's, again, no trailer, no footage released for this film. It played Fantastic Fest, and I got sent a screener from the sales agent when we were looking at the films. And the lead actress, she's from A Handmaid's Tale at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Her character's a bit kooky in that. I mean, her character's a bit kooky in this, but in a different way. It's about cam girls, and it's actually written by a professional cam girl. I wasn't super familiar with cam girls, you know, going into the movie.
Sure, yep. You were.
But the portrayal seems realistic. Cam is like it's a very unusual movie.
It reads like an episode of Black Mirror. It's about a cam girl that gets replaced by a replicant. Well, that's how the synopsis reads.
She has
her
channel taken by a doppelganger. Effectively, and it's like, how does this kind of work?
Wow, cool.
And that unravels. It's a pretty cool, unsettling type of film, and it's pretty full on at times. We quite liked it. Danny and I were like, where the fuck is this move going? Like, I have no idea, but I'm really, like, thoroughly engaged and enjoying the ride. It'll be interesting to see it on a big screen.
Awesome.
And there lies the conflict, because roughly the same time at 9:45, you've got Escape from New York presented in 4K with a short film called Chow Boys.
You know about Chow Boys?
No.
Chow Boys is the last short film and last film at this point in time from Astron 6.
Oh.
Ah.
Yeah, I've seen it. It's good.
Chatting to Astron 6 about 2 weeks ago about another project.
Right.
And they told me that they were in Monster Fest this year.
Yeah.
And I got all excited, but I had no idea which particular project
this
it was.
Is their last. Like, they've sent us poster art, which we'll throw up on
their
the website.
Their last short film or their last film?
Well, no, actually, it does say the last film. Yeah, last film. That's what it says. Getting back to John Carpenter's Escape from New York. This is a 4K restoration. I have not seen how this is going to look at this point in time. I'm very excited. There was a Blu-ray that was coming out through Studio Canal that was going to come out, I think, just prior to our festival, which, no, yes, it's from the same master, but it's Blu-ray. It's not 4K. But now it's been pushed back to March, which is good news because it means this is the only way you're going to see this 4K restoration.
So, of course, I'm a little bit torn, and I'm guessing a lot of people will be torn. But for me, personally, because I'm going to be there covering the festival, I think I will see Cam.
Yeah.
Because I've seen the other film, you know, more times than
I can
remember.
You'll get another opportunity to see it eventually.
That's right. So I'll be covering sort of something that's, you know, original and new to the festival. As for Astron 6, I think they had a film last year in the festival, didn't they?
They did, with the
Simpsons characters that was disturbing as all hell.
They've had, like, quite a few shorts over the years at Monster Fest and features, obviously, like The Editor and Father's Day. In fact, Father's Day actually didn't happen because it was supposed to, and then it
got banned.
Couldn't screen it. That's what happened, couldn't screen it.
Oh, damn. And so that concludes Friday night, November 23rd, and we move on to Saturday, November 24th. The festival kicks off at 12:30 in the afternoon. With 30 Miles from Nowhere and a short film called They Can't Hear You with a Q&A.
Well, I will mention briefly, 30 Miles from Nowhere is a world premiere. It's directed by a Melbourne filmmaker named Caitlin Collier, but she actually shot the entire film in the United States. So it's an American cast that are in this movie. It's a banger. It's a weird Cabin in the Woods type vibe film, a lot of paranoia about it. And it's a cool film. And that actually... We haven't really formally announced it as such, but we're doing an Australian showcase. There's 5 Australian features pretty much back-to-back in that one cinema throughout the day. Obviously, individual tickets for each of those sessions, but that really kicks off that Australian showcase, and it's a cool film to open it with.
Kind of, it strikes me as sort of the Big Chill meets, you know, Cabin Fever or something like that.
Yeah. Because it's all a reunion.
Reunion-style storyline.
Yeah, almost a little bit like the Evil Dead remake, too, bringing all those friends together because they're, you know, dealing with the... You know, in this case, they're all getting together because they're... loss of a friend from college. You know, they're not dealing with the addict friend Evil Dead. It's a pretty cool film, man. But at the exact same time, you know what's happening?
Oh, we've got the Rocket Presents John Carpenter Trivia.
Yeah, that's mine. I came up with that.
I knew you had. I saw that on paper. I'm like, that is Jarrett.
John Carpenter Trivia,
Well, look, I'm going to have to skip that because I want to see this original content.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I know
that means that maybe we can get you to write a couple of questions again, because you wrote a few questions for our trivia, not last year, because we didn't have trivia at Monster Fest last year and there was a bit of an outcry about it. But the previous year, you wrote some questions for us, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
That was for the Melbourne Movie Market when we did it. Yeah, I get confused.
Some event across the board.
But you're definitely
going
to write some questions.
I think I did it that one that we had the drag queen hosting.
Oh, yeah.
I was there for that.
Well, I was definitely competing in that one.
Yeah. So was I.
Yeah.
Oh, we just were not flying questions.
Yeah, that's right. Of course, yeah. So John Carpenter, it's going to be awesome. The only thing is there's no advanced sales for this, so it's like you've got to rock up at 11:30 on that morning at the Nova Bar to sign up. I don't know how many teams we're limited to, but...
But the good news is if you miss out on a ticket, then you can go in and watch 30 Miles from Nowhere.
Yeah, go see the movie. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So that's... Yeah.
This is where I interject with a little bit of a post-podcast update. There's been a couple of changes to the schedule. At this point in time, there is a new film added to the lineup at 1:30 on Saturday, November 24th, called Hellfest. I will let Jarrett do all the talking and explain that one to you at the end of the show. There's also a second film added to the list, but I'll let you wait until he reveals what that is. So anyway, back to it. Moving on to 2:15 p.m., we've got The Fog 4K, carrying on that Carpenter tradition there with a short film called Daughters of Virtue. The Fog is probably my favourite John Carpenter film, so to see that in 4K, yeah. I think so, yeah.
It's, yeah, like I always fall, like I always go, oh, it's The Thing, oh, it's Halloween, oh, it's The Fog. Like it's, anytime I watch one of those films, then it's my favourite
again. It's certainly not his best film, but it's my favourite.
No, I do love it because it's got so many elements about it. Yeah, it's a terrific sort of folklore, scary tale. Like, I love The Fog and I can't wait to see it in 4K. I'm headed over to, I've probably been to the US by the time this airs, sorry. So I've probably hopefully seen it already because I do just want to see it on a big screen in 4K ASAP, but also so I can go and see other films at the same time. You know, like I gotta kind of work it out. It's the hardest thing is when you're scheduling films at a festival, you've got a finite.
You kind of gotta anticipate your audience too, and know what they're gonna want to see, and not be bothered by the crossover.
That's it. That's why you never program rep against rep, because you've got people that only want to see new films and people that only want to see older films. So you don't put two new films or try and put two older films against one another. So yeah, you kind of got them.
Very tricky. So at 3:00, we've got Burning Kiss and a short film called Cocky, which also has a Q&A.
Cocky's very funny. Very cocky.
I'm guessing it's about a bird.
It is. It is. Oh, God, it's good. Yeah, I don't want to ruin anything about it. But I will mention Burning Kiss. This will be the Victorian premiere for the film because we have played the film at MonsterFest Travelling Sideshow in Perth, which was the world premiere, I will say here. We had to call it hometown premiere in case there was something to do with an international festival that wanted to call it world premiere. But yeah, so, and it went down really well. It's kind of like a neo-noir sort of tale. Yeah, it's really well stylized. Like, it's really cool. Yeah, so it's definitely worth checking out. And it's from Perth. And we're going to have the director there to talk about the film.
Oh, awesome.
Robbie Studser. Yeah, he'll be there to do a Q&A about the film. So
Speaking of being there to talk about films, at 4:15, Nicholas Hope is going to be in attendance for a Bad Boy Bubby screening, which also has a short film attached to it called Entropia. Is he attached to that as well?
No. He had shot a film here in Victoria this year, a short film. It's directed by Seamus, I think, O'Ryan, who won Best Victorian Short last year at MonsterFest, but unfortunately the film's still in post, so we really wanted to play it because Nicholas is going to be there and everything, but no. But it is the 25th anniversary of Bad Boy Bubby, so that's why we're screening it.
One of the great Aussie films from possibly one of my favourite Aussie filmmakers,
Rob Dehier. It is a grim view, isn't it?
It is grim, but it's so fun. It's such a fun movie.
Yeah,
it's powerful stuff.
I tell you about the first time I ever watched Bad Boy Bubby.
No.
I was dying to see it when I was playing in cinemas. Like, I was really dying to see it. But as soon as it came out on home video, I rented it out, watched it with mum and dad. We sat down, watched it as a family. It was a very uncomfortable experience.
Oh, my God.
But we watched all of it. It's not like my dad got up at some point and said, well, this is shit, and walked off. Or my mum goes, this is disgusting. We just sort of... We watched it slack-jawed, I think, and then it kind of ended, and it was like, "Well, that was that then."
We've all had that experience of watching something with our parents and not no one knowing who should turn it off.
Yeah,
for me, it was My Own Private Idaho.
Oh God, that's an equally
and I remember thinking, you know what? I'm just going with this because I'm little and I'm enjoying. Yeah. I was getting into the arts, and I remember my dad saying, "Oh, I've had a bit enough of that."
Yeah.
I think I'll have a coffee or a cup of tea or something like that. And Mum just sat there with me and watched it.
Yeah,
Dad was a bit uncomfortable.
Yeah.
What about you?
What a saint.
I genuinely can't think of any examples.
All right, moving on.
I can think of ones where it were too violent that my dad would have been like, don't tell your mum we watched this. But there wasn't anything that
nothing
I remember.
Nothing quite like that.
Nah, nothing.
I do want to mention Natalie Carr's also going to be there, an actress from the film as well. So that's kind of cool. We would have loved to have Ralph De Heer, but he's actually working on a project at the moment, which is...
He's a busy man. He's also a professor or lecturer over in Adelaide. But he's easily one of my favourite Aussie filmmakers. I love the guy. And then at 4:30, we've got the after school special, which is a student's short film program. You know what? I love the fact that Monster Fest are doing this. Like the fact that they're actually showcasing and highlighting student films is amazing.
It's a good way of, you know, embracing, you know, the talent from, you know, from all over Australia. You know, you've got so many, you know, students that create these great films, and outside of like graduation screenings, they don't really get to get seen. And, you know, the quality of these films, like, you know, these films are coming out of, you know, everything from VCE to RMIT. There's all these amazing places, Swinburne, you know, these are just ones from Victoria that are making films, but this is Australia-wide. And yeah, they so rarely get seen. And that's the other thing too, because often is the case that the universities retain copyright on them, so they don't end up on YouTube. So, you know, if you don't catch them during these graduation screens, there's nowhere to see them. And then filmmakers making these genre films. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a great opportunity to see such.
Every single one of my VCA films is either on a disc at home or in a VCA.
They only get viewed at the end of the year when you present it to the class and parents and family.
Such a shame.
Yeah.
Get to come along. And, yeah, Ryan Kendall's got a short in there, The Lovers, with Sarah Lambert, who's the writer, director and actress in Innuendo, The Bad Twin. I haven't seen it. I'm looking forward to seeing it. And it's cool to see Ryan, who, you know, obviously a student, but has been a volunteer at Monster Fest in previous years, transition into a filmmaker and now have his film play at the festival. So
Did I ever tell you how I met Ryan Kendall?
No. Does it involve buying some cheap DVDs?
It does involve buying some. So he sells them on forums.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I've seen his name kicking around, you know, whatever, right? He's very knowledgeable, mad into his horror, obviously, as I discovered and blah, blah. And at the time, I was desperate to get my hands on a copy of Stephen King's A Night Flyer.
Oh, right.
And the DVD is
that force release or
it's a force release. Yeah. Super rare. And there's like copies on eBay going for like $100. And I'm like, fuck that for a joke.
Yeah.
$100, too much for a force DVD. Go to Cashy's one day and there's a guy there and he's got a pile of DVDs and on top is a copy of The Night Flyer for $1. Right. And I goes like this to the guy. I'm watching it. And I'm like, I've literally just missed this DVD by minutes. I'm like, by minutes, I just missed this. And I was livid.
Yeah.
And I did my bit and I, you know, found the DVDs I was going to buy. And then I thought, fortune favors the bold. Give it a go. And I went over to this guy and I goes, excuse me, dude. I said, see that DVD on top there? Night Flyer costs $1. I'll give you $5 for it. And he goes, think so. I goes, hey man, you gotta try, right? And he goes, yeah. I goes, have a good day. I fucked off and I went home and I was so fucking mad, right? Forums come up, Ryan Kendall, here's a pile of the DVDs I got at Cashies, Night Flyer's in there. And he goes, here's a pile of the DVDs I got at Cashies. Some guy even offered me $5 for the Night Flyer. I'm like, fuck you, dude, that was me. Like, I'm like, no, it wasn't. I goes, yes, it was, because after this, we talked about that. I was like, yeah, and that was it. That's how I met
that's
Ryan Kendall.
That's great, good old Kendall. Yeah. Very funny.
Nice guy.
Love
and of course, there'll be other student films screened as well.
Yeah, there's another nine of them or something. Oh, yeah. And they're all good people too. I'm sure I've got stories about every one of them.
So at 5:45, we've got a film called The Foaming Node.
The Foaming Node.
Wow. That sounds uncomfortable.
It's directed by Cronenbergian. It's almost and a bit Phil Brophy as well. It's like a very, it's very experimental. It's played Revelation Film Festival in Perth and played Sydney Underground Film Festival. But yeah, it's more an art piece kind of film. Like it's a bit more of an experience sort of thing. I think it runs at under 70 minutes, but it's accompanied by a short that goes for about 23. So it balances out there.
Who was it directed by?
Ian Holm? No.
As in Bilbo Baggins?
Yeah, no. That's actually funny. No, because I was talking to someone the other day and they mentioned that they met him. And that person, I won't mention their name. He's got a film playing, a Monster Fest, a short film. And I remember going kind of, Ian Holm, wow, okay, this is a random conversation. Like, very unusual. No, not Ian Holm, Ian something or other.
McKellen.
No.
But that film is also paired with another short called Thelemos. Is that how you pronounce it?
That's the one that runs at about 23 minutes. Just played this sci-fi film festival in Sydney. Groovy. I really want to tell you what the director of the film, I know his name's Ian, and I'd look it up on IMDb, but guess what? It's not listed on IMDb. Oh. I know this because, when I was putting together the metadata, I was like, oh, I have to request more info.
Maybe that's integrity or something, because most people get their stuff up there as soon as they can.
It's super arty.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. It's interesting, very interesting.
Awesome. And then at 7:15, probably my third most anticipated film of the festival is The House That Jack Built, the new one from Lars von Trier, starring Matt Damon. And this one's got a lot of anticipation, a lot of controversy, as comes with any kind of Lars von Trier film. And that one is paired with a short called Motherfucker.
Oh, Motherfucker's great. Motherfucker is a short that Ben Helwig from Monster Fest really championed to get this film seen. Like, it is something. Like, he really loved it. He really championed hard to get that short play. But I will mention The House That Jack Built did have its Australian premiere at the Monster Fest Travelling Sideshow in Perth. And it was sort of hard to say how it'd go because, you know, the Melbourne audience are more accustomed to Monster Fest. You know, it's 4 days of programming. They appreciate that, you know, it's all varied sort of content. It's not just super gore. It's not slasher. It's a bit of everything. It's all encompassing. Perth's a little different because it's only like this. We did have a Monster Fest we did there like many years ago, but we only took the Travelling Sideshow there to like event cinemas last year. So it's still trying to.
They're just getting a taste of it.
Yeah, that's it. You know, it's not all, you know, Puppet Master, Littlest Reich. It's a little bit, you know, The House That Jack Built as well. So it's unusual doing it as an opening night film. And we've also got, you know, had the Australian premiere of the Suspiria there, you know, which is a bit, again, another odd sort of, you know, curveball to throw them. But they really went wild for The House That Jack Built. Like, all the banter on the internet was like, everyone in the audience got something out of it. Like, you know, they loved it. They were really fucked up by it.
Awesome.
So yeah, I can't wait to see how Melbourne real audience is going to react because, you know, they've been highly anticipating this film, but it's going to be an interesting Saturday night feature because, God, it's going to be a big night after that. How do you, you know,
I do love some Von Trier. Big fan. Well, that is also playing alongside. There's 7:30. You've got Final Girls, which is a short film program.
Another one. Yep. Final Girls. That's all I'll say.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's all you'll say. All right, fair enough.
Yeah, I didn't write the description for that one. But
I'm guessing it would make sense if
heroines. It's not all female filmmakers, but it could be all like female, heroine.
Excellent, cool. Well, that's a cool thing to run with.
Yeah, well, that's the graphic that I did because I designed the image for it.
I hope you got it right.
Yeah, it was like Final Girls. And it's going to be a kick-ass girl with an axe.
That's
like,
a cool name for a program too.
Yeah.
8 o'clock, you've got Pimped with a short film called Blackwood, which also has a Q&A.
Pimp's a Sydney film, and this is the Australian premiere of it. There's a lot of hype for this movie. I think it played Fright Fest in London. It deals with like duality and toxic masculinity and a few other different sort of things. It's an uncomfortable, unnerving type of affair. And it's, like similar to Burning Kiss, it's very stylized and cool.
Cool. I like stylized. I like uncomfortable, and sounds good to me.
And the toxic masculinity. It's always good to see some confronting sort of film like that. And in a genre film program is good too.
Now, something that is completely up my alley. At 10:15, we've got Puppet Master the Littlest Reich with a short film called Baghead. Talk about Puppet Master.
Puppet Master. Well, Puppet Master, it's really odd now because it's a refresh of the franchise. It's kind of a sequel of franchise. And Charles Band's recently decided he's just going to make another Puppet Master sequel and has made one that he's just thrown on VOD.
Of course, yeah.
This one's come out that's actually really good. He's made something that looks pretty junky.
Yep.
But Littlest Reich is super offensive. It's super gory. It's hilarious. And it's written by S. Craig Zahler, which is the most bizarre thing. But yeah, it's a really cool fucking movie. Like, who would have thought, like, the Puppet Master franchise, you know, you could do a refresh like this and it would work. It does. And Thomas Lennon's in it. Mm-hmm. There's a few familiar faces in it. I think you're going to really dig it. I only watched this film at home with Danny and we laughed. We enjoyed it. It'll be great to watch this movie with an audience because it is like a late night movie.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to be fucking cheering.
And you just don't get these films on the big screen anymore.
You never do. You never do. So this is the Victorian
premiere. That kind of is, you know, speaks for the whole festival, really. That's the best thing about this whole damn thing. So then at 10:30, you've got Maganda, which is paired with a short film called The New Jerusalem 98 and a Q&A.
I really, I'm excited for this double. Maganda, Pinoy Boy versus Milkman. Is the full title. It's a mouthful. And it doesn't help that the short film it plays with is The New Jerusalem 98. It's a big title. Really excited about this one because they actually work really well together. Matthew Victor Pass is the director of Maganda.
You know, the penny didn't drop until... See, I didn't pick up on that was the Matthew Victor Pastor film.
Right, okay.
And now I'm like, fuck, I wanted to see The Puppet Master, but now I would much rather see an MVP film.
Yeah, it's a tricky one.
Is that a feature from MVP?
It is. Yeah, it's right. The final film in his Filipino Australian trilogy. Like, I think it started with Made in Australia, and then went to the recent film he had play in Adelaide. And forgive me, I think it's like Random Melbourne Melodrama. Mm. I think that might be what it's called. And this is the final film in that trilogy. I've seen a lot of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen all this movie, but it was like I saw enough of the movie to have an opinion of the movie that I needed to see the rest of it on the
Cool.
screen.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited.
I'm excited. I've been like a bit of a champion for this guy for a long time.
Oh, God, yeah.
On the FakeShimp.net.
You introduced us.
Yeah. On the FakeShimp.net podcast, we've talked about him a lot.
Yeah,
and absolutely. I even designed the DVD cover art for Made in Australia.
Yeah. You're probably the only rental store in Australia that was renting it.
I had a few copies. For free. I actually said, this is a great film. No charge, just watch it. You've got to watch it. And I plug the shit out of it because I think he's a huge talent. So
I even shot an episode of Running on Empty on him back in whenever it was 2016 or something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, he's been around the
Actually,
tracks.
Come to think of it, in the very, very early days of FakeShimp.net, we sold it on our website.
Well, there you go.
We had a little store and we were selling it. So, yeah, we love
this
guy.
I don't think you can see it anymore. I think it's unavailable.
Except for my DVD shelf.
Yeah, unless you come around to Glenn's and have a look at it. But I'm excited to see the rest of the film on the big screen. And the interesting thing with the pairing with New Jerusalem is that you've got the filmmaker Kiefer Finlow, who is one of the producers on Maganda, is actually the writer-director of New Jerusalem.
Right.
There's some crossover cast.
It's a good pairing.
You've got Kristen Condon.
Mm-hmm.
She's in both.
Oh, cool.
Oh, shit. I just realized I'm actually in the New Jerusalem 98 as well.
That's a little weird that you just completely forgot that you're in a...
I kind of forgot about it. Yeah, I have seen it, the short. It's great. But it's because I feel like it was like a lifetime ago. We shot the scenes pre last Monster Fest.
Yeah.
It was like a couple of weeks out from... So it feels like that long ago.
Kristen Condon's great as well.
She's a talent. Yeah, absolutely. Chocolate, Strawberry, Vanilla, Under a Kaleidoscope. She's great.
She's awesome in Under a Kaleidoscope.
Yeah, she's really good.
Really good.
So that's a pretty good program.
And
pretty
then program. We cap off the night with a 12:30 a.m. screening, all-night Nightmare Marathon.
Yeah, now I'm going to leave that one to your imagination, but there's going to be four or five films from filmmakers that made the shorts in...
Nightmare Cinema.
So awesome. Yeah, I can't really say what the films are because we've done the thing.
Well, David Slade.
Year.
It must be Twilight.
That would make sense. Yeah, makes sense. Does that not seem legit?
I mean, it seems legit to me.
Or maybe it's just an episode of Bones or something.
So our speculation is purely speculation.
But it is a long. Yeah, it's a long haul because it's 12:30. You're not getting out of that cinema until maybe 7-ish in the morning. Maybe 7:30.
Get your money's worth, son.
Totally. Yeah. You know. And if you're like me, you always find a film that you can just nod off and have a quick nod off.
And if you like Hell Week, you'll be sleeping in the stairwell.
Well, that's it. Hell Week, you know, he generally chooses 2 to 3 films of a 3-film marathon to have a snooze during. You know?
Good.
Yeah. But the beauty of this one is I think there's going to be staff on site, you know, to serve stuff. But don't quote me on that. But I do know it's playing in a cinema where there's an exit you can make your way out to the service station, grab a snack or have a dart, or grab one of those service station coffees.
Have a dart in the service station. Sort of
yeah.
Just next to all the petroleum pumps. Yeah.
And while you've got your phone checking your Instagram as well. So it should be an absolute banger.
And lighting a bonfire. Lighting a bonfire, having a dart, and using your phone. Yeah.
I'm Instagramming it all. It's live, baby. Live.
Do you guys want a beer? I'm fucking parched.
Done. Bang.
The Cult of Monster is the very lifeblood of Monster Pictures, the place where all our thoughts, obsessions, and deviations are projected upon the world. Updated daily, it's where devotees of the world's strangest cinema go to fulfill their every wicked desire. Unique content, news, reviews, interviews, and more, all through the eyes of the monster. The Cult of Monster. Join us, my friends. Join the cult.
Getting back into this program, Sunday, November 25th, which is also the closing day of the festival. It kicks off at 12:30 p.m. with Evil Dead 2.
Yo.
Amazing. And it's paired with a short film called She Came From the Woods, which is a nice little pairing there.
It's a good title, yeah.
It is a good title.
Evil Dead 2, screening in 4K. This is the new restoration that's being done.
Because I think in the original Evil Dead, she came in the woods, right?
Mm.
That's awful. We're talking about when she gets rooted.
Sorry, I went there.
Evil Dead 2 4K. Can't wait to see this
cannot
film.
Cannot wait.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see that. And there's no way, no better way to start the day than Evil Dead 2.
And there is no clash with that one.
Not at this stage, there's not. But I'm not going to say any more than
that. Tantalizing.
So, yeah.
So at 2:15 p.m., we've got The Monster Squad, which is the classic Fred Dekker cult masterpiece, with a short film called Lucy's Tale. That's an exciting screening too.
Monster Squad, it actually works out quite nicely because gives people an opportunity to revisit that 1987 classic prior to watching the feature-length documentary that plays afterward. They are separate sessions, so if you just want to come along and watch Monster Squad, by all means. But if you're coming along to watch Monster Squad, then I'd say you're probably a fan or you've been curious about the film. And after you see that film, your curiosity, you know, you'll definitely need to see Wolfman's Got Nards, feature-length documentary about the enduring legacy of the Monster Squad. So it's a perfect Sunday afternoon for the family because it's actually a really heartwarming doco. And, I mean, the Monster Squad's a family-safe type of movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's a good afternoon with the fam.
Which
bring the
is
kids.
Going to be featured on an upcoming show that we're doing next year called Childish Nightmares on FakeChamp.net. So there's that too. Okay, at 2:30, we've got Dead Things, which is a short film program.
Yeah, another short film
That's
program.
That's it. And then at 4:30, we've got the classic world-famous Trasherama.
It's Trasherama.
Presented by that sick fuck Dick Dale from Adelaide.
Dick Dale. You probably can jump on the old FakeChamp.net YouTube channel and check out an interview we did with Dick God back in 2015.
Classic interview we did
it's
with
a great
Dick.
Interview.
It
great
is.
Interview. Not as good as the interview of him on community TV in Townsville where he's wearing a boob tube and forgets why he's wearing it.
Yes.
It's good. Fantastic.
That is the messiest
video.
He's coming
down off acid. It's fantastic.
The messiest video ever.
With him, I'm pretty sure that was the same thing. He'd been at a Dwarves gig the night before.
Yes.
But yeah, I'm really excited about the Trasherama lineup this year. There's some very... I mean, there's always awesome, cool films to see. But yeah, this one last year was like a bit of a retrospective as well as new content. This is all strictly new content.
Oh, brilliant. So nice. I've loved Trasherama for the longest time.
Oh,
so
God, there's
fun.
So many. There's one that's going to be downright offensive. I can't wait to see it. With
oh, man.
Do you remember that one, Maul My Children, that played?
Yes.
Where, God, that was so good. This one is pretty much just as offensive and hilarious at the same time. Yeah, I can't. It just makes... Sometimes you see people get up and leave during it because they are offended, but it's like, it's Trasherama. Of course you're going to be offended.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, it's great.
We shot one of the Trasherama promo videos in my basement.
Oh, you did
too?
Oh,
gosh,
yeah.
What fun that was.
With Miss Misery.
With Miss Misery.
Is it Miss Misery?
Misery's Malice.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the Elliot Smith song from Good Will Hunting.
Oh, wow.
I would know.
It's written, yeah.
Yeah. When you're looking at me like I got
the
answers,
was,
I don't know.
I think it won the Academy Award that year for Best Original Song.
I think
so
it did
go.
Actually, yeah.
You won't be seeing Good Will Hunting. You might see Good Will Humping at Monster Fest.
Jesus.
But you won't see Good Will Hunting.
And then, of course, 4:45, as Jarrett mentioned, we've got Wolfman's Got Nards with a short film called Starlets. And then moving on to 7 p.m., we've got the closing night film, Lords of Chaos, which we mentioned earlier, and the closing night awards ceremony. So there is that, and that is all very exciting. So, as I mentioned earlier, there have been some additional films added to the festival schedule. So, Jarrett is going to somehow seamlessly tell you all about them.
Well, Glenn, as is the nature of film festivals, you're always working on, well, everything leading up to the fest and throughout the fest, and that can even include programming. And in this instance, we've been able to lock another two films. However, it's come post our final wave announcement. We've been working on securing these films, but sometimes you don't get the final approvals until, you know, sort of the last minute. So really pleased to be able to add these films to the lineup a few weeks out from the fest. They've already been announced and tickets are on sale, but I just wanted to talk about them briefly. The first one will play on Saturday, November 24th at 1:30 p.m. It's titled Hellfest. It's fresh from its US theatrical run, and this one's an amusement park slasher film directed by Gregory Plotkin, who you may remember for having directed Paranormal Activity, The Ghost Dimension, which is the final film in the Paranormal Activity franchise to date. He's also a renowned editor. He's worked on numerous genre projects, including the Blumhouse films Happy Death Day and Get Out. It also stars Tony Todd from Candyman. Candyman himself is in this film, so we're really excited to add Hellfest in its Australian premiere to the MonsterFest 2018 lineup. Now, the second film I want to talk about is also playing on Saturday, November 24th, but at 10:30 p.m. Now, this one is a documentary. It's titled Category 3, The Untold Story of Hong Kong Exploitation Cinema. Now, I think the title pretty much tells you everything you need to know. It's a doco on Cat 3 films out of Hong Kong, so that includes the action, horror, sleaze films, you know, those forbidden sort of films that you, you know, absolutely need to see. This is a really engaging and informative documentary on Cat 3 cinema. It's directed by Callum Waddell, who's not only a documentarian, but a known film scholar. You know, he's published books on Robocop. He's currently working on one on Cannibal Holocaust. But, you know, his documentary work, you know, ranges from feature-length documentaries to special features. You know, he's worked on special features for distributors like, you know, 88 Films and Arrow Video. So, yeah, you know, the guy knows his shit, and we're really excited to have Callum's documentary, Category 3, The Untold Story of Hong Kong Exploitation Cinema, join the MonsterFest 2018 lineup. Again, that one will play on Saturday, November 24th at 10:30 p.m.
What I haven't mentioned is that the Screaming Meanies are coming to MonsterFest, so they'll be playing on opening and closing night, and I think you might even help us out with the trivia as well.
Really?
Because, yeah, the old Screaming Meanies has just released a split with Videogram, which is an artist out of Europe. And it's a Carpenter tribute album.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's going to be pretty appropriate having him play along with the tribute. But, yeah, he'll be there doing his thing on opening closing.
Whenever he plays live, it's always worth watching.
I was about to say, there's nothing more delicious than just sitting there watching him do that thing.
He's just like, completely and utterly in his zone.
I was going to say, he just gets lost in what he's doing. Yeah, and it becomes, this is it, and that is all.
It's great, too, because it adds, you know, depth and atmosphere to something that you can kind of talk over and enjoy, but then the minute you kind of lock, you know, your eyes on him, you kind of like
mesmerized.
Yeah, totally. So, yeah, it'll be great to have him there opening, closing night, and possibly for the Carpenter trivia.
So that is the program for MonsterFest 7, The Homecoming. If you want more information on these films, including the trailers, then visit monsterfest.com.au. I would also jump onto the MonsterFest and Monster Pictures Facebook pages to keep up to date with what's going on. Monster do their traveling sideshows amongst other gnarly depravities, and the only way to be part of that community is to engage with them on social media and help spread word of mouth. So tickets for MonsterFest 7 are now on sale from cinemanova.com.au. There's a variety of ways to purchase them, from single film admissions to VIP passes, mini passes, and of course, concessions where applicable.
I mean, like, yeah, the VIP pass is extremely good value because there's no really any other festival that does a ticket like this. $150, you get, you know, it works out you get 12 sessions. People are like, why don't I get to see all the films? Because you can't physically see all the films. Mm. It gives you as many sessions as you can physically attend, which includes the marathon. It also includes the trivia. I mean, you've still got to rock up at 11:30 to sign up, but that's free as well. It includes free poos on opening and closing night. It's like ridiculously good value.
Even the mini pass. The mini pass is good. Is a great idea. Five films for $70.
Yeah. Just the only exclusions are the, you know, the marathon and the opening night with that pass.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Super cheap.
$70.
Yeah.
God damn.
So, yeah, that's really all I've got to say about the tickets, but they are selling fast. Sessions have started to fill. And unfortunately, with the nature of this festival, we can't put on second sessions. So, you know, if you're thinking about seeing something, commit to it now, because there's a good chance as the days lead up to the festival, they're going to sell out. You won't be able to get tickets on.
They always do.
Of course, I'm going to be there this year, checking out as many films as possible and sharing my MonsterFest experience with all of you on FakeChamp.net. I'll be doing the usual reviews, blog entries, as well as grabbing various vox pops and sound bites of all kinds from this year's fest. If you see me floating around, feel free to say good day. If you want to talk on the mic and be part of our rolling coverage, then don't be shy. And without sponsors, MonsterFest would not be possible. So make sure you support the brands of those who've come on board. And most exciting of all is that if you arrive at MonsterFest, there will be a downstairs pop-up shop next to the Nova box office where you can purchase Monster titles.
Yeah, we're going to have DVDs, t-shirts. We've actually got some vinyl from Rocket. So, you know, we're giving away some Carpenter vinyl in the trivia, but we'll be selling some other Carpenter vinyl there.
That's it.
There'll be all sorts of cool stuff. And it's a good opportunity just to come and hang and have a chat. You know, we'll have rotating staff sort of there. So it's a bit of a chill-out zone at the same time. So, yeah, come drop by the store.
Awesome. Well, that is about it for this particular episode. Thank you for listening. We are FakeChamp.net, and you will see us at MonsterFest 7. Until then.